You are an energetic being first and foremost, so the quality of your energy field is really important. It works like a filter, each part of the field enabling or preventing whatever is turning up in your life. This is the Future Self Energetics Show. I'm your host, Amanda Nelson, and I work in the body, mind and spirits community. I'm an award-winning master energist. That's a therapist that specializes in improving the quality of the energy fields that move in, through and around your body. If you want anything in your life to change, you have to begin with changing your energy field first. So my shows are a mixture of talk and therapy ideas, interviews and thought-provoking inspiration. They're all about energy, energy fields, protection and connection. If there's a topic you'd love me to cover in my show, please email me, amanda@futureselfenergetics.com. And if you love the show here on UK Health Radio, please spread the word about it in your networks. Something happened when I was about 7 years old that I find myself thinking about quite a lot lately. My dad's job was under threat. It lasted for around 6 months, and it was a period of not quite knowing what was coming next, and it was stressful for my parents in a way that children absorb without really understanding. I know that it was mentioned a lot, not being able to afford things or having to cut back and such. It all eventually resolved itself, and my dad was given a choice between taking redundancy and relocating from Liverpool in the north of England down to Horsham in the south of England, and so we moved. But what stayed with me, looking back on it now as an adult, is the quality of that uncertainty that hung over us all in the house, the stress of simply not knowing what might be coming down the track towards us. And as an adult, I wonder now how different that period might have felt if there had been a little bit more structure around it, a deliberate intentional buffering, if you like, something already put in place that could hold the family supremely steady whilst the unknowns were being resolved. Because I have a suspicion that that buffering wasn't there from some of my memories and also from some of the conversations that took place. I'm not sure that my parents had ever really considered putting in a serious buffer in place for job insecurity before. This is the Future Self Energetic Show on UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Amanda Nelson. And on the show this week, I'm sharing something my spirit guides have been speaking to me about with real consistency over recent weeks. They want me to get a buffer in place, a 90-day buffer. That's 3 months. Ideally, they'd want me to have one that lasts a bit longer, like 6 months. They were who reminded me about my memories and feelings from that time when I was 7 years old. My guides are in what I can only describe as their guardianship mode. They're being very measured, very caring, very calm. And what they keep returning to is the value of thoughtful preparation if the future might hold unpredictability. It's practical and grounded and purposeful preparation that's really an act of love towards your future self and the people around you. So interesting. Now, it's not the first time my guides have given me a heads up on something. And when they did this before, I'm glad I listened. And as always, there's never any insistence or anything that they make me feel worried about. I certainly don't get that from them. They simply remind me of a memory from my past, as they did from when I was seven. And then they almost ask me to consider how a buffer for a few months could elevate me out of any murk and mire that might be on the horizon if it ever came my way. So subtle. My clients, they've also been asking me about this too. They want to know what my opinion is, what my perception is. There's a sense across so many conversations right now that some things we've relied upon for decades may now become less reliable for us. We're in a time of uncertainty, and there's global supply chains, amongst other things, that are potentially much more fragile than they were before. We didn't get much notice that this was going to happen, did we? We're all navigating what could become significant change, but we're navigating it in real time. And my guides are clear that the wisest response is always a considered, measured one. So that's what I want to share with you on my show today. What I feel is a wise response to the current phase we're in as a planet, and a wise response that I've been using and also sharing with clients, and the thinking that sits underneath it. Preparation and buffering against an unknown set of circumstances creates a really wonderful sense of peace, and it creates a sort of a buffering structure just in case. So you're saying to your future self, I have thought about you, I've considered what you might need, and I've done what I can now that's within my ability so that you are better held if or when that time might come to you. That's an energetic act of love, isn't it? It's not only a practical one. I grow vegetables. If you've been listening to this show for any length of time, that won't come to you as a surprise. I grow vegetables and I cook them and preserve them as well. And over the years, I've built a small seed library of all sorts of vegetable seeds that I love. And I tend to prefer heirloom open pollinated varieties because heirloom, as the name suggests, are the seeds for plants that have been savoured and saved and then passed down from generation to generation. Heirloom seeds are stable, and that means that the seeds they produce will grow into plants that are just like their parents. So for me, this is a hobby. It's a hobby seed library, nothing commercial at all. Never even thought of that. But in that seed library, I also keep what I think of as my seed vault, and this is where I geek out a little bit. It's where I keep my most precious seeds. So these are the rarest, the oldest varieties, the seeds that might become extinct, the most precious of the heirloom varieties I am custodian of. They might not be worth much in financial terms, but to me they are priceless, and it's taken me over 10 years to build this up, but only because I'm selective. I get some seeds, I grow the plant, I see how much I love it, and if I love it, it goes in the vault. Now, one of my favourites from my vault is a really tiny, fragrant muskmelon. It's called Petit Gris de Rennes. It was first recorded growing in the garden of the Bishop of Rennes in the early 1600s, and it was so remarkable. And I must say it does taste divine, even if it's grown in Oxfordshire, that generations of fruit and vegetable gardeners since then have thought it worth saving and preserving for the next generations to enjoy as well. And I also have a perpetual broccoli, it's called Nine Star. That is so rare that the seeds are extraordinarily difficult to find. It's a plant that with good care though will produce broccoli spears for 3 to 5 years rather than being an annual that only survives for a single growing season. And I also have the seeds of exceptional heirloom peas and tomatoes, cucumbers and chilies, all old varieties, all stabilised. And these heirloom seeds exist because previous generations didn't simply enjoy the fruit of their work, eat it and move on. They actually took the time to save those that mattered, and they passed it forward for the future selves that followed them. And I love that idea so much that it inspired me. It was partly what inspired me to create my own library and vault. And someone before me did what they could with what they had. And so that then benefited me now. Generations have always worked this way. So originally, I grew these fruit and vegetable varieties as a hobby and because I wanted a taste of the past where flavour was always more important than anything else. I don't mind wonky tomatoes if they taste absolutely fabulous. And I learned about these older varieties and I learned how to grow them because they would never be available to me in my local supermarket, so I'd never get to try them otherwise. But it turns out that the seed library I have built may now be becoming more important for an entirely different reason. It's not just a kind of a play in the mud hobby anymore. It's so much really more serious. It's for me this year feels like it's a much more serious commitment through the growing season to keep and to multiply seeds just in case supply chains really do fail at some point. Do I think all the seeds will vanish off the face of the planet? No, I don't, certainly not. Do I think we're all going to starve? I certainly hope not. That's not what's in my heart at all. But I do think we're in a space where we need to consider things from as many different alternative perspectives as we possibly can. And that includes something meaningful and workable that you could consider putting into practice straight away to create a system for navigating uncertain times. How we build a buffer for the just-in-case scenarios. So I love to grow vegetables, and this is what I know how to do well. So it falls on me to be one of those people who shows and shares in the way I know best. My 2026 experiment is in part about becoming that person, the one who invests herself in a valuable way so that her future self and those around her can be better off for it, just in case. So my experiment is well underway, and I wanted to see this year what happened if I split my time between time that was very focused mainly on client work and therapy sessions and planning and admin and banking and all the business of running a home and therapy practice, and then on the other side, this week that I would kind of leave completely open for whatever wants to arrive from the universal energy grids. And I deliberately have no agenda or plans or goals or targets for that week. I just make space for pure potentiality to enter. And what I'm discovering is that when you create that kind of deliberate space, the universe has a remarkable habit of filling it in ways you couldn't have planned for yourself. And my pure potentiality week has been full of working through what I now have and is forming the foundation of what I might need if I need a buffer. What I wasn't expecting this week, my pure potentiality week, was for my guides to step forward, give me memories from when I was 7 years old and say to me that this is what I need to do this week. I need to approach this in a kind of calm, practical, community-minded way and put a buffer in place just in case.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving. It's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job. She was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to the Future Self Energetic Show on UK Health Radio with me, Amanda Nelson. And today on the show, we're exploring the guidance that my guides have been offering about this time and the invitation they keep extending to me, to all of us, which is simply to create a 3-month or more buffer for what is important to you in your life at this time, to show your future self that you were thinking of them and that you took the steps when you had the opportunity to do so that might make their life easier in case they need it. There's a sense across so many conversations right now that some things that we've relied upon for decades may be becoming less reliable. And because we're in a time of uncertainty, and certainly global supply chains seem very much more fragile, and as we didn't get a lot of notice that this was going to happen, did we? We're now all navigating what could be a significant life change in real time. And so my guides are clear that the wisest response at the moment is to do something meaningful and workable that you could put into practice straight away, something that starts where you are now, create a system for navigating uncertain times to the best of your ability. All right, so the starting point is to know where you are. You are where you are. You start from there. You begin with what you can do and what you have got today. But rather than getting online, dashing to the nearest supermarket, maybe even panic buying or stocking up anything you feel could be what you need, instead, it's time for an audit. Now, that sounds very administrative, doesn't it? But actually, it's an exercise that's really simple. What we're going to do is, first, you're just going to pay close and honest attention to your own life and what you and you, those around you, rely upon the most in your lives. You're going to be answering a question, and the question is, what do I actually depend upon? Start looking at things like physical things like medicines, anything that you and your household might take regularly, including supplements that support your daily functioning or are essential. Of course, you're going to look at the kind of food and drinks that form the basis of your weekly nutrition, things you eat and love to eat regularly. And then there's personal care items. Maybe you have a sensitive skin and a particular brand is what you prefer as it doesn't irritate you. So I'd be making a note of that. And then there are the household essentials, whatever essential might mean to you. I mean, can we ever forget the run on toilet rolls over the COVID pandemic? And then I also would look at your appliances and whatever powers them. If they're not manually operated, you need to think about fuels, electricity, gas, wood, solar, how you're supplied with these, how much they cost, what you use them for, how often and why. Think seasonally too. If we're in warm summer days now, what might you need for cold days? Your winter needs and your summer needs are not going to be the same, and a thorough audit is going to reflect both. These seasons will come, and what you need in them should be on your list. In your audit, as well as looking at those stricter essentials, also look at the things that are important to you and that support your well-being. If a specific brand of coffee makes all the difference, or a chocolate bar is your regular treat, or you like to go swimming once a week, put them down in your audit. Mark them as important as well. And maybe you might consider having a bit of money at home. Some would be useful after all, just in case. Just a small amount of cash, small denominations, not lots, just enough so that you have some to hand. Tuck it away somewhere safe. Save it for just in case. And think about your skills as well in your audit. What do you know how to do? And what do you currently depend on others for? Would it be worth learning to do any part of that yourself, even at a basic level? If you're used to going to the supermarket and buying ready meals, maybe it would be good for you to learn to cook maybe one, maybe two from scratch recipes. Use ingredients. Maybe for you it's about learning some basic first aid or how to preserve some food in a different way than just sticking it in the fridge or the freezer. Maybe for you it's about growing some delicious herbs in a pot and seeing what you like the taste of. If you're not, plant some tomatoes and a few herbs like basil and parsley in a pot somewhere. They're really easy to begin with, and you'd be surprised how much plants have a will to grow. And if you haven't grown anything before, start with those. They take little to no space at all. And all of these things, and many more things I'm sure that I could be mentioning, they begin to expand your resourcefulness, your feeling of empowerment, whether you ever need to eventually draw upon them or not. The thing is, whether you use the skill or not, you have the skill. There's value in traditional skill. I'm learning how to make different things with the same basic ingredients at the moment. It can be a bit hit and miss, but I'm learning. And although it's for fun just now, I wonder if it might ever become more necessary. Take a bit of flour, a little bit of salt, some water, butter and eggs. Well, you can turn that into a cake, or you can turn it into some pastry. But if I have the ingredients and I know how to combine them differently, I suddenly have empowered choice. Give yourself a weekend for the broad sweep of this audit. Don't go into laborious detail yet. Just write things down on paper or put it in a spreadsheet if that suits you better. And the list doesn't need to be perfect. Just start broad and let's sharpen it up as you work through it later. Because once you have your audit, the next step is to just go through that broad list and prioritise what is on it. Ask yourself, where am I in my life right now and what matters most in this particular phase over the next 3 to 6 months? To be honest, a family with young children is going to prioritise something very differently to someone who's retired or living alone. And someone managing a health condition will put certain things at the top of their list that another person might place much further down. So the audit is the same for everyone. The prioritisation and personalisation, though, is entirely your own. Work from the things that are most essential to your daily health, functioning, how you're going to be, you know, ensuring your well-being, and you move outward from there. And you could invite other people in your family to also prioritise things on this list too. If they are feeling uncertain about things, especially if they're your children, it'll help to know that you are thinking about it. When I was little, no one talked to me about the uncertainty in the household. And even though I might not have had much to contribute, I might have been more reassured to know more about what was going on and at least to be able to offer to do something to play my part. So an audit is the broad sweep, stepping back, looking at your whole life to identify everything you use, everything you depend on, everything you need. It's the thinking and list-making phase of this. The audit answers the question, what do I need? You're deciding what matters. And from that stage, from the prioritised audit, you then move on to the next step, which is your inventory. An inventory is only a detailed count of what you actually have in hand right now. So once you know what matters from the priorities in the audit, the inventory is easy because it's going to tell you exactly where you stand, how much of each thing is already there, and therefore if there is any kind of shortfall, that's if there is one, well, look to your 3 or your 6 month buffer target and find out what you need to do in order to plug that gap. So the audit answers, what do I need? And the inventory says, what do I already have? So the inventory is where you go deep. You go and have a proper look at what you actually have, not what you think is there. What actually is there? You're going to check it out. This is where the more detailed part of this exercise takes place. And you'll often find that you have more of some things than you realise and a genuine shortfall in others. Start zoning things. Put things that are similar in groups together, and then you'll find out whether you have multiples of them or not. And once you know your shortfall, you can calculate what you need. What would I need now? What would be enough for a few weeks? What about a 3-month buffer? What would that look like? What about a 6-month buffer? Is a 6-month buffer of this really necessary? 3 months, my guides feel, is a solid and achievable starting point to work towards. 6 months, according to my guides, would be better, and I don't know why that is. Any buffer from a week to 3 months is going to give you some peace of mind. And that's the point where a wobble that comes down the track unexpectedly, it simply doesn't destabilize you at all. You're able to continue your measured response to whatever comes down the track rather than feeling immensely triggered into reacting to it. So build from where you are, steadily, no panic, no drama. Add one or two extra of the things you reliably use whenever you next go and get them. And you're going to cycle through these things anyway at some point. So this is considering it's a cyclical. You will be using these straight away. It's a purchasing style rather than a panic buying and hoarding style. So what you'll do is you'll take a look to see what you need. You'll then work out how many of them are needed, how many you would need for 3 months. You'll top that up to the 3-month point, and then at the 3 months you start cycling through it. If you're on prescription medicines, speak to your doctor about whether a slightly larger supply could be arranged somehow, and rotate through that stock too, older items being used first, so that nothing is hoarded and wasted, just sitting there gathering dust. It's a process, I think, that takes the time it takes, and if today is the first day of doing this for you, then that is fine as well. None of us knew that this was going to happen. We start where we are today, and we build our buffers the best we can as we are able to.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
Imagine. Every day clients walk into your office with their concerns about intimacy, identity, desire, and trauma. Questions that require more than basic training. Emotional and sexual dynamics are evolving, and today's professionals must evolve with them. We hear from parents unable to start conversations with their children around identity. Too often, adolescents have learned their sexual ideas from the internet. Couples have difficulty communicating about sex with each other. At the International Institute of Clinical Sexology, you can gain the specialized skills and knowledge to address those issues with confidence. Whether you are a therapist, coach, educator, or other healthcare professional, our advanced certifications and PhD program empower you to become a highly skilled, sought-after sex therapist. Expand your expertise. Elevate your earning potential. Start your journey today with the International Institute of Clinical Sexology. Imagine making a difference in our world. Learn more at clinicalsexologyphd.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
This is the Future Self Energetics Show on UK Health Radio. I'm Amanda Nelson, and today on the show, we've been working through some practical systems that my guides have been pointing me towards. Audit, prioritise, inventory, build. Line your nest, they say, with essentials for the next few months ahead. And I think before we close this show this week, I want to bring in the final piece of the puzzle that I've been thinking about, because I don't think a buffer is complete without it. And that piece is the essential part that community plays. The community dimension of this is also something I really feel strongly about. You don't need to have everything or be able to do everything yourself if you have a reliable community around you. So the aim for this is to know what you do well and then offer that into your community and then draw on what others do well in return. It's a kind of balanced, honest sharing out. So let me go back to what I know to illustrate this. I'm a gardener and I have a very small garden. I can't keep chickens in my garden. My garden simply doesn't allow for chickens in it. There isn't enough space. But I know a woman nearby who does keep hens in her field, and I have vegetable scraps that I would usually compost. So what I do is I get a bowl or two of those together and I take them up for the chickens in the field. And the lady up there, she's very glad of the supplement, which is what she said would really help her hens, because chicken feed for her birds is starting to get really expensive. She has eggs, I have plenty of vegetable scraps, and so together we have a kind of little swap arrangement going. It costs us nothing and it requires very little apart from a conversation over a gate and a willingness on both of our parts to think communally about what each of us had to offer one another. Everybody wins. So think about your own circle. Who's the cook? Who knows how to mend things? Who's a gardener that's not being used? Or who's a gardener without a garden to grow in? Who has any medical knowledge or practical building skills or experience preserving foods? Or who has a library of old-fashioned reference books? What kind of books are they? Who has a bit of storage space, a spare bedroom, or a vehicle, or a bike, or something with a tow truck, or some particular expertise that would genuinely be useful in a pinch? What you need is awareness, an understanding of who is around you, what they can do, and what you can offer into that communal group. Community resilience is built from exactly these small exchanges. It's how communities have always functioned at their best, and it's available to all of us right now if we're prepared to make a move towards it. You might even consider getting willing neighbours together to talk about this kind of community sharing and see who else is interested and what each one of you has to offer. My son has a greenhouse and he doesn't use it, and he and his best friend are going to actually deliberately share it this year. Neither of them really knows what they're doing yet. I have offered to go and help, and I'm sure they'll take me up on the offer. But really, what they are is committed to learning together and supporting one another. I think this is wonderful. And my next door neighbour, he doesn't have the time or the know-how to grow anything in his much, much larger garden. But I do. He could provide some space. I could provide the seeds and the know-how. And then we could share what comes from the patch. There would likely be enough for more than our two families, so we could give the extra away. And it's exactly this kind of thinking that is community. Now, on seeds and growing specifically, right, if you have any space at all, even a sunny windowsill or a few containers on a balcony, consider giving it up and learning how to grow bits and pieces that you can then eat. It's a fantastic skill to have. And consider trying heirloom varieties instead of the F1s. Now, the gift of a stabilised open pollinated variety, that's the heirloom, is that you can save seed from the plant that you grow yourself. so you don't have to buy new seeds next year. You simply gather the seeds and grow it again the following year from your own seed library. And so you step out of that cycle of having to buy new and outside the uncertainty of sowing from what they call an F1 variety. Now, F1 varieties are phenomenal year one, but if you save the seeds, they're a bit unpredictable about what you get the following year. That's why, because the seeds are unlikely to come true to type, I invested in the heirloom open pollinated seeds and I learned how to grow and then save the seeds. So start now. Do you need to know this year? I don't know. Do you need to know it next year? Perhaps, I don't know. But invest in some heirloom open up pollinated seeds, the sorts of things that sound really interesting, like you'd love to be able to taste and to experiment with growing, and see how you like it. If you were to grow some tomatoes and a neighbour were to grow some cucumbers, then you could swap the excess, and believe you me, there will be excess. So in the UK, try Real Seeds or She Grows Veg. In the USA, I think the company I know of the most is Baker Creek, though I'm sure there are others. In Europe, try Association Cocopelli. They sell organic open pollinated and heirloom seeds as well. I just think step into the experience of feeling, it's really empowering feeling, even if it's just growing parsley, tomatoes, basil, a few chives, anything at all. It's the same custodianship in a way that kept the Petigrida wren melons alive across four centuries and helped me to build up a core seed library of my own. You don't need to grow melons though. Grow them if you really like them, though they're a little bit tricky without a greenhouse. Just grow what you want to eat. Grow the knowledge of how to grow, how to cook and preserve food. It's, again, a traditional skill with increasing relevance at the moment. Do you need to know all of these things straight away? No. Would it be worth you thinking about learning them? Yeah, I think so. Today's a good day to start. Growing doesn't need to cost much. So is there anyone in your community, for example, who also wants to grow? If there are, maybe you could grow some similar varieties, buy the seeds, divide them between the two of you. If you pool your money, if you pool your pots, if you buy compost together at the same time, if you need it, well, you're going to be able to really reap the benefits without a large investment at all. I mean, I know I use gardening as an example all the time. I'm sorry if that's not the best example for me to share with you, but it's only because it is what I know. You will have your own bright ideas, I am sure, that suit you and what you know well. So this year, in my vegetable garden, I'm prioritising varieties that do well in our climate, that I love to eat. Don't grow okra if you don't eat it, okay? And from plants which I can save and share the seeds in my community going forward. And if the gardeners who come before me had not done exactly that, I wouldn't be benefiting from their heirloom open pollinated fruit and vegetables now. And I'm becoming very grateful to them all, even more so as I record this show today, because I want to be part of that long chain and pass those seeds forward too. This is my way of starting to do my bit. I wonder what you'll be called to do. So looking back on that period of uncertainty when I was 7 years old, watching my parents struggle, manage something so very stressful for them, what really strikes me the more I think about it, as an adult, I think, through the lens of an adult woman, is how can it be that two war babies, because both of my parents grew up as children in the tail end of the Second World War. How can it be that two war babies who would have grown up knowing the rationing and uncertainty of the Second World War had so little buffer in place for a season of uncertainty that arrived unexpectedly less than 20 years later. Buffering changes how any potential difficulty feels, so I don't know why they wouldn't have buffered. What you're doing is that buffering is coming at it from a position of having thought ahead, already acted, already provided for it in a measured way, just in case. I think many of us still remember the COVID pandemic times. We had very little chance to prepare for that time too. Perhaps, though, we can learn from our recent past and think of what would have made all the difference to us during that time. Make sure you put that in your audit as well. So I'm inviting you to do your audit as soon as you can make the time. Prioritise according to where you are in your life right now. Do your inventory and know any shortfall if there is one. Decide if you're looking to build a buffer for a week or a month or 3 months or 6 months. And bring your community together. Bring your community into what you're doing. Speak up. Reach out. Know already what you're going to be offering and what you want to get involved in. And get to know those around you. What are they offering? What are they happy to be involved in too? Grow food, save it, share it. Do all of it as an act of love towards your future self. Because that future self is going to thank you if, and I mean if, it is ever needed. That's it for another show this week. I'm thrilled that you dropped by. I present Future Self Energetics show every week for UK Health Radio, and I'd be delighted to spend more time with you next week, so do tune in. The world of energy is amazing, and it's magical, and it's mysterious, and there's always so much for us to explore about it. You have a vital connection to a web of energy fields around you. Use that connection for your benefit. I've been working with vibrational energetics all my life, and I know that when you improve your energy field, you can uplevel any part of your life.